miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning Night Multivitamins, UDocs@gmail.com, YouDocs@gmail.com. Today's kids can't keep up with their parents. On average, it takes kids about a minute and a half longer to run a mile than their counterparts did 30 years ago. Heart-related fitness has gone down 5% per decade since 1975 for kids between the ages of 9 and 17. Dr. Mike, makes sense. We have kids that are less active today than they were before, right?
Absolutely, and schools have cut out some of the recreation periods. So the average kid, you know, the kid who's still involved in sports probably gets even faster than parents. But every other kid doesn't get the physical conditioning routinely in many schools. How about in Syracuse? Do they have recreation, if you will, or phys ed as part of the normal curriculum in grade school?
Oh, yeah. In the suburban schools, there was an issue with the inner city schools to eliminate a phys ed in favor of a study hall or a study period. But there, believe it or not, there was kind of a complaining from some parents saying they'd prefer to have the kids do a physical, you know, physical period than the. The thing that is startling to me about this is that they say this is the most non-active generation of kids in the country's history, and this is a generation of people that will more likely have to bury their children before the parents pass away. To me, those are two things that make this story pretty striking.
Whoa, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected my grandkids to support me.
When you put it in those terms, it is very, you know. But there's a stranger danger, right? I mean, people, they're teaching kids to avoid everybody that they don't know. To a certain extent, that's probably a good thing to do. But less than 5% of kids who are kidnapped or abducted come from outside sources. It's typically friends and family. So I think parents are reluctant to get their kids outside. And then look, you go to a mall and you see moms pushing strollers around with kids that are 5 and 6 years old, right?
Yeah,
so I can keep an eye on him. Yet the kid's sucking down a Slurpee, right? And he's in a stroller at 6 years old. What sense does that make?
None.
So. Boy, that's the thing you described, a 5 or 6 year old in a stroller.
Oh, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I try not to go to malls.
Well, I don't
but
either.
You could see it anywhere. I mean, I don't really go to malls that often either, but I know exactly what you're talking about, Joe, even at amusement parks.
Sure.
Yeah, that actually is true. They used to have, you know, I would think with cell phones and we're going to pretty soon start implanting little chips in our kids. Mm-hmm. So in GPSs, we can find them any place.
Yeah. Well, you know, fitness is pretty poor in adults, too. But, I mean, throw in the fact that in many homes, the fast food drive-through is dinner. And you have, an obesity problem there. Yet the kids are getting less exercise than their parents did.
It's really remarkable. A mile in a minute and a half slower than their parents did at the same age. That's mm-hmm. really a remarkable statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And if your kid is eating 3 meals a day, one for each time zone, that's got to be sweat and gravy at Thanksgiving probably is a good tip. So how do you change that around, Dr. Mike? How do you fix that, if you can?
Well, I think, I do think we have to put some of this responsibility on the mom and the family.
Sure.
To stress the importance of this, and then on schools to also stress the importance of it. But I think it's got to be a total attack. I mean, it is, how did we change smoking rates? Well, we'll find out from Stan Glantz that a lot of it was knowledge, a lot of it was, if you will, intent, effort, but a lot of it was regulation, banning it in certain places. Well, we've got to do the reverse, have regulation where, you got to park X, if you will, move the parking lot further from the building.
Mm-hmm.
You see that at your building, right?
What's
Everyone
that?
Fights to get the closest parking place.
Yeah, absolutely. Christmas shopping, too. People fight for these parking spots that are closest to the mall doors. Taking aspirin, when should you take it, and what are the benefits of taking it when you should, Dr. Mike?
Well, what do you think the answer is to that, Joe?
Well, I take it in the morning.
Yeah, so the key is take it when you remember is first rule. And then second, if you can remember in the evening, that's probably better.
Yeah.
Because platelets, which this antagonizes, are stickier in the morning. But this study showed that just you would get a bigger platelet effect if you took it in the evening than the morning. Well, there are a couple problems. One is they didn't take enough aspirin, so you really want to take 162 milligrams, and maybe that lasts 36 hours the way we think it does. Secondly, is inflammation is also a big thing that aspirin quells, and maybe that works better in the daytime. So all they looked at was platelet adhesiveness or stickiness. They didn't look at whether there was a change in really strokes or heart attacks, etc. So we'll have to do more on this study because I don't think this study is complete. And so my own answer is the real thing you should do is take it when you remember to, and there's a slight theoretic advantage to taking it in the evening, but only slight. And if you're going to remember like you do to take it in the morning and like I do, I think that's the best time to take it.
Well, my morning is 12:45 a.m. That's my morning.
Wow, that's
so amazing. Well, Joe, no, but you're still it is in your sleep period. It relates to.
No, I'm going to work at that time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So you should take it in the evening, if you will, right before you go to sleep or somewhat, because it relates to platelet adhesiveness during the REM period of sleep. That's when platelets seem to be most sticky. But again, this is a theoretic study, meaning it didn't look at heart attack outcome or stroke outcome. It looked at platelet adhesiveness. And one and two, they gave the wrong dose of aspirin, not a dose that's appropriate. But in fact, so we're going to talk about, you know, I'm really looking forward to finding out more about e-cigarettes and what they really are, what their risk is. But also, Stan Glantz was so key in changing smoking and secondhand smoking in California and in the country that maybe we can learn what we can do to get kids more fit from him as well.
Now, let me ask you this about other stuff. What if you're taking a statin for cholesterol, you're taking a pill for blood pressure, you take a multivitamin, you're taking an aspirin or other, you know, omega-3s, whatever. You mentioned a lot of different pills people can take. How do you split that up during the day? You don't just grab a whole handful of pills at night and just eat them all and or take them down at the same time, do you? I mean, what's the spread on these things?
No, just what I do is every time I grab a glass of water, I grab another. If I still have pills to take, I grab a few more. But in fact, I spread them out throughout the day. You know, I do take DHA, which is for brain and eyes, and lutein and zeaxanthin there in one pill. I do take half a multi. I do take 2 baby aspirin a day. I do take half a multi twice a day. I do take a probiotic, and I do take an omega-7. So, 2 omega-7s, actually. And so, in that scheme of things, and in fact, you know, we can talk about this some other time, but I do take a statin twice a week because of its reduction in cognitive dysfunction as you get older. But we can talk about that.
Just on mix and match. Can you take an aspirin at the same time you take a statin?
Yes.
Or you can. Okay. So there's nothing that's going to.
No, there are some that interfere with one another, but none of the ones. And by the way, I do take D3. I forgot to mention.
Yeah. All right.
And most multivitamins are best when you take them after you eat because it increases the absorption of fat soluble vitamins.
Oh, got it. All right. Udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com. E-cigarettes. How safe are electronic cigarettes? Where are we? Where should we go? It's a hot topic, and our expert guest is next with more on that on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.